Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom. Plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the word of God together. I would like to tell each and every one of you, thank you. I would like to thank people all around the world that has been tuning into the program. Thanks to each and every one of you. I thank God for allowing me the opportunity to be able to come before his people. I want you to know I don't take it lightly. And our lesson tonight is called God's Timing is Perfect. I believe once we could truly understand that, we could truly be patient, we could truly rest, we could just wait on God and see the fact, the salvation of him working in and through our lives. We're coming from the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 4-9. So if you don't have your Bibles, get your Bibles, and I recommend you get a pencil and paper for tonight, because it's going to be there will be a lot of scriptures that you may want to study in your own time. So I'm going to play this song, and I thought it was so fitting for the program tonight because the record is called Grace, and we are talking about the grace of God tonight.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
Yeah.
I came this far by faith.
Hallelujah.
My road ain't always been smooth, but I don't look like everything I've been through. The truth is I'm kept blessed by the best, and one word describes the rest. Everybody says grace.
good. I want you to know wherever you need God's grace, it's always sufficient, on time, and exactly what you need.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. God's grace is so sufficient. It's so sweet to us. Lord, and I thank you. Again, I'm going to say thank God for all of this, for allowing us to come together week after week. At this time, it's time to go to God's throne of grace. We're going to enter his courts with thanksgiving and to his gates with praise. And right now, God has given me the opportunity to give you, any one of you, the opportunity to pray and lead us to the throne of grace at this time. All you have to do is press the one button on your phone, and God will hear your prayer. Anybody, caller, your number is 504-231. Your mic is open.
Father God, it is in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, Lord, that we come to you this evening, God, saying thank you for all your mercy and your grace. Oh God, I ask that you forgive us all for our sins in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before your presence and lift up a prayer on this Wednesday night. God, we thank you for that. God, I thank you for the word of God that will be going forth tonight in power, oh God. I thank you for the word of God that will be setting the captives free tonight, God. I thank you for the word of God that will be healing to our souls, oh God. Lord, I thank you for the word of God that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, God. I thank you for Minister Diane, who will be delivering the word, the teaching tonight. God, use her as you will. Use her in a mighty way, oh God, for your glory, oh God. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence one more time tonight. And we say hallelujah to the Lamb and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, my sister. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. God is pleased. And not only one person pressed the button, but two did. God offers an invitation for whoever wanted to pray, to pray. And the button was pressed. Thank you, my sister, for praying and calling. Your number is 25656. Your mic is open.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Father God, we thank you tonight for allowing us to come together in worship and prayer, thanking you for our sister in Christ, Minister Diane. Lord, I thank you for allowing her to bring forth your word onto light, that it may be a comforting to the body and to soul to someone. Lord, I thank you for your blessings. I pray that each and every one of you on the sound of my voice receive a blessing on tonight from this word. Lord, Father God, we give you all praise, all honor, and all glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, my sister. And really, it's not too late. If someone else want to pray, because you see, we living in perilous times. We living in times where so much is happening. There's nothing that we can do. We can't control coronavirus. We can't control the waves in the sea. We can't control the wind. We can't control the hearts of unfair people. We can't control our leaders. We can't control the fires that's burning in the west. Nothing seems certain these days, but I want to let you know Jesus is still on the throne. and he's still faithful. But what we have to do is pray. So if anyone else would like to pray, you could press the one button, and I'll let you pray as well. Thank you, my sisters. I'm going to say the title of the lesson again, and we're going to get into the lesson. I pray you have your Bibles. I pray you have your pencils and papers, because there's a lot of scriptures, and I'm not going to be able to read all of the scriptures, but I'm going to give you the scriptures so you can research the Word of God for yourself. So the title of the lesson is God's Timing is Perfect. We're in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, the fourth through the ninth verse. Always we have some background, introduction to the lesson, and what I'm really going to talk about tonight is the dispensations of time. You see, you got to really understand the move of God, the hand of God, the way that God operates in the time he has created on our behalf. See, when we just know a little bit about God, we can only love on him for the little bit we know. The more we know, the more we grow, the more we can show our love for him. So when we do these dispensations of time, we're going to really see how God was working, is working all things out together for our good. So I want you to know that a dispensation is a method of interpreting history that divides God's work and purpose towards us and to different periods of time. I don't know if you ever thought about it before. I don't know if you've ever been under the teaching of this. But, and if you have been, well, it's going to be familiar to you. And if you haven't, get ready. You see, there are seven basic dispensations identified in the scripture. All right. The first dispensation is called the dispensation of innocence. Called the dispensation of innocence because when God, during this period of time, there was no evil. So I'm sure y'all mind could bring you back to say where it was. You see, this happened in Genesis 1 through 28 and 30 and Genesis 2, 2 and 15 that talks about this. Now, when the program is over, you could get the prayer line number, and if you call me, I could give you the scriptures if you don't write them all down. Okay. There was no sin. So it was complete, a state of innocence. You see, this dispensation covered the period of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Y'all remember when God made the Garden of Eden, it was paradise, all things were good. It was a dispensation. God, during this dispensation, God had commanded, well, it was really Adam and Eve in the beginning, what to do. See, God always tell us what to do, even though he allows us to do what we want to do, and we'd always listen. Come on, y'all. But this is what he asked him to do. He asked him to replenish the earth with children, subdue the earth, to have dominion over the animals. Y'all know the story of creation. Care for the garden. Abstain from eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the forbidden fruit. You see, God warned of the punishment that would happen if they do it. It's amazing that God doesn't give us everything, that the consequences of our sins, some of them are even to death, we just can't let go. But he gave them, he warned them of the punishment, that it would be physical, spiritual death for disobedience. You see, maybe when Eve ate the apple and they saw they didn't die right away, Adam must have said, well, that wasn't so true. But physical death is still in the rim. cut your news on tonight and see how many died from the coronavirus. That debt that God told them would happen if they did it, it's still happening. It didn't erase. Debt still take its toll. Debt still take its numbers. And then the physical, the spiritual debt was that they were separated from God for the disobedience. This dispensation was short-lived, and it was brought to an end when Adam and Eve's disobedience and eating the forbidden fruit caused sin to enter the world, and they was expelled out of the garden. That was the first dispensation of time. And it was called the dispensation of innocence. So let's go to the second dispensation, called the dispensation of conscience. And you could see why that dispensation came. You see, the dispensation of consciousness, and it lasted 1,656 years from the time of Adam and Eve. Eviction from the garden until a flood. Everything was all good. They messed up. They got thrown out. And now they got consciousness now. And look what they do with it. So this dispensation of conscience is going to last until the flood. I'm talking about the flood of Noah and the ark. You see, this dispensation demonstrate that what mankind will do is left to his own will. See, they got a conscience to do right or to do wrong in this dispensation. And it demonstrated what mankind will do if he left to do what he wants, which has been tainted, by the inheritance of sin. You see, the five major aspects of this dispensation. What happened at this time? God cursed the serpent. A change in womanhood, childbearing. You know, they say that woman was going to have pain. A curse on nature. They didn't have no thorns and weeds and all of these things before then. God cursed it, and man didn't even work in the innocent stage, but now he had to tilt the land. Man, sin bring you places you don't want to be, and after you do it, you can't bring it back. But they cursed the nature, and mankind had to work to produce food. They didn't even have to do none of that. And listen to this. If you're in the book of Genesis, the first chapter God created, the second chapter God created, and the third chapter, man fell. He created Adam out of the dust and took a rib and made Eve. Gave him a few rules to follow, and he messed up so dearly. So God, in his ultimate wisdom and his love for us and his grace, that record I played wasn't no accident, and because of his grace in this dispensation of conscience, in the third chapter, 15 verse to be exact, in the book of Genesis, God almost did the first prophecy. He did a prophecy that since man had messed up, man couldn't take care of himself, man couldn't save himself, man was going to have to pay that debt that was caused in the first dispensation of innocence, because sin brought in debt. So everybody was set up to die. But without being saved, we would die in hell forever. So God said, I'm not going to let it go down like that. So what he did, in that same dispensation of conscience, God said, he promised us a Savior as the seed who will bruise the serpent head. Come on, y'all, read it. Genesis 3 and 15. That was the first promise, and he was talking about sending a Savior. Now, when you think about God's time and the title of my lesson, and it is perfect, this was the beginning. Testament lasted all of those years. The promise wasn't fulfilled until the New Testament. But if God said it, you could believe it, and you got to wait for him and trust him, because his timing, as I said, is perfect. We get to the third dispensation of time, and it's human government. You might not think of that. God established government. Notice, y'all. Which began in Genesis 8. And it brought into fact all forms of legislation, organization, and enforcement. You see, after the flood, come on, y'all. They messed up. God destroyed the whole world with a flood. Talking about mankind. But after the flood, God stepped back from directly judging the earth. And he said he wasn't going to judge it until the second coming of Christ. So the human agency known as civil government was divinely appointed to restrain evil and protect man from his own sinful nature. Now you know where government comes from. Now you know, even from the Old Testament, why you think they say when you go to court, put your hand on the Bible. All that was the influence of God. But man getting away from everything now. Even our money stayed in God we trust. America is steadily turning its back on God, taking the prayers out the school, doing anything. But God implemented human government. You see, God had destroyed life on earth with the flood. He saved only one family to restart the human race. Y'all know that was Noah and his family. God made the following promise and command Noah and his family. So after God saved them, he gonna always tell them what you want. He wants you to do, so you won't be saying, well, I didn't know that. See, so many people say, I don't know that. God told him, he said, look, man, I'll never curse the earth again. Noah's family was to replenish the earth. Because it was only them, y'all. He told him, y'all going to have domain over all of the animals and all of the creatures. Because you know they brought the animals on the ship, on the ark. Now, watch this. He told him, now y'all could eat meat. See, when they was in the garden, they was vegetarians. And then even in a dispensation of conscience, they were still vegetarians. But after the flood of Noah and the ark, they were allowed to eat meat. You see, the law of capital punishment was established. There never will be another worldwide flood. And God gave them a promise by telling them, whenever you see a rainbow, you remember my promise is still in place. But you see, in disobedient Noah's descendants, they were supposed to scatter and replenish the earth. But after they, you know, got saved and started having children, they stayed clustered. You know how some families just want to be with themselves and don't, you know, whatever. He told them, scatter yourself so I could have people all around my world. Because the whole world was destroyed. But they wouldn't move. So you see, and watch this. Only about 325 years after the flood, the earth inhabitants, the ones that was dead, it had to be Noah and his family, and it was living past 325 years. So look what they do. They want to know more than they should. So they start to build a tower at Babel. They wanted a great monument to say, look at us. Look what we did. They wanted a monument to their pride. So they start building this big tower. And they some the Bible, I think, said it was kind of getting close to heaven. That was some lot of building, huh? But God brought the construction to a halt, creating different languages and enforcing his command in the first, after he had given it the first time. Come on, y'all. Watch this. God put it to a halt. So when we look at everything that's going on in our lives today, when God got ready in the title of my lesson, say, God, timing is perfect, you best you could believe it. Watch the hand of God as we go through this lesson here tonight. You see, they did that. But when God got ready, he took a halt. And then he caused them to scatter like he wanted. See, if you don't give it to God like he wants you to give it to him, he could create and do things that'll make you have to give it to him. When he put it to a halt. And then what he did, he created different languages, which helped to enforce his command to fill the earth, all the way around the earth. So they start speaking in Chinese. So everybody who could speak in Chinese went together with the people speaking Chinese, speaking other languages, couldn't understand them. Come on, y'all. So that's how we got all of these different nationalities and all these different cultures. You see, that's where it came from. You see, the result was the rise of different nations and cultures. From that point on, human government has been a reality. So when you hear that said like that, that means it's still happening today. But tonight, you got to know where it got started. How you think they got judges? Don't you know in the Bible when, who that was? Moses kept doing all of the work, and I think it was his father-in-law told him, man, you better get some judges, and you be the Supreme Court. Let them settle, little judge, for the civil things between, you know, family. All that came from God. It's amazing that when, this is what I like to say, y'all. It was amazing after the flood. Everything but what was on the ark was destroyed. Now watch this. When Noah stepped off of the ark, sin followed. Sin dwells in the flesh. When Noah got on the boat, he had his flesh, and sin was with him. God destroyed the whole world by flood. But when Noah stepped off the ark, sin followed him. That's why sin is still alive in the day, alive today. Sin is going to be here till Jesus come back. The fourth dispensation of time is called the dispensation of promise. You see, it started with the call of Abraham, continued through the lives of the patriarchs, and ended when they exited out of Egypt. Y'all got to get right where we at now. You know, God, after the Noah and blah, 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 God called Abraham. He told Abraham he was going to make him a father of many nations. You know, Abraham then had the boy, and God told him he was going to give him a boy, and he took issues in their own hand, and so on and so on. Dispensation of the promise is the fourth. And God told him he was going to make them a nation, and they was enslaved for 130 years in Egypt. But you see, during this dispensation, God developed a great nation that he had chosen as his people, Genesis 12 and 1 and Exodus 19 and 25. The basic promise during the dispensation of promise is called the Abrahamic covenant. Y'all might see that sometimes. Whenever you see that, that's the covenant he made with Abraham. Here are some of the key points of the unconditional covenant. Now, you got to realize some covenants that were made was conditional. You know, plenty of times you read in the Bible, if you do this or do that, you get this and you get that. This covenant that God made with Abraham was unconditional. That means God was going to do it. God was going to give all the provisions. God promised it to Abraham. He didn't say, Abraham, if you jump so high. He didn't tell Abraham if you, you know, sacrifice 60 bulls. It was unconditional. You see, from Abraham, a great nation that God would bless with natural and spiritual prosperity. God would bless those who blessed Abraham's descendants and curse those who cursed him. This is still in place. That's why we are called the children of Abraham, y'all. Everything that God promised to Abraham belongs to you because you are heir and a joint heir. You got to know what you're working with. You got to know what God has established for you because sometimes you don't know, you don't show up to try to get it. You see, in Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Thank you, Holy Ghost. This is fulfilled in Christ. Come on, y'all. God said, I'm going to start it with you, Abraham, and I'm going to finish it with Jesus. And I'm going to finish it with his work of salvation. What God was telling him, man, you know, this sin came in the world and debt is doing what it does. And, you know, I done destroyed the world and not sin is still here. And so, you know, I'm going to do something with you now, Abraham. And I promise you, I'm going to save your descendants. He said, anybody bless you, I'm going to bless them. And everybody going to be called the children of Abraham. He said, I'm going to give you so many, you won't be able to count them. It's going to be more than the sands. If you took every seed in the world and counted the sands, you still wouldn't be able to count them. Abraham was kind of confused because Abraham was old and he ain't had no children. But you see, with man, things are impossible, but with God, everything is possible. He told him, and through Abraham, all the families in the earth is going to be blessed. He's saying the ultimate is going to be that salvation is going to be for all your descendants. They're not going to die and stay in hell. I'm going to make a way out of no way. And if they accept my son, they're going to have eternal life all the way through eternity, Abraham. And we said, okay, now this is unconditional, so you don't have to do, you know, this and that, Abraham. But he said, what I want you to do is circumcise yourself and your descendants. That's going to just be a mark that y'all belong to me. That's almost like our water baptism. It's going to be a sign that they decided to follow the only true and living God. And when we get baptized in the water, we are signifying that we decided to follow Christ. And even today, baptism can't save us. It's an outward show saying who you belong to, and that was the same thing with the circumcision. Circumcision couldn't save them, but they got the big head, and because they were circumcised, they made it out of, like if they had this big old calling card that they were just so special. People will always take something so beautiful and try to turn it around. You see, this covenant, which was repeated all the way through his son and his 12 sons, his son, and then his son's son. And that's where we get the tribe of Israel. And all of them kept the command of the circumcision. And Abraham was blessed that had a child that had 12 children. And the rest is history. That's the fourth dispensation. That was the promise. But that dispensation was for you too, because when he made the promise to Abraham, it goes for us too. So you see how God started out, man messed up, and now we at the fifth dispensation, and now we at the law. Most of you will probably be more familiar with the law than the other ones, because we're always talking about the law and the grace. Now you see the dispensation of the law lasted 1,500 years from them coming out of Egypt until it was suspended after Jesus. The law was in place till Jesus came. Y'all remember that. You see, during the dispensation of the law, God dealt specifically with the Jewish nation through the Mosaic covenant or the law. You know, they call that the law of Moses. You can find that in Exodus 19. So that's how God began to deal with the people. And you might say, why? Why then? You see, after God decided to make them a nation, and he promised Abraham to give them the promised land, before that, there was no law. See, Abraham just was a good man, and because of his goodness and his faith in God, God counted it as righteousness that made grace be extended to him, and that's how he was saved. To be saved in the Old Testament before Jesus born is the same way to be saved in the New Testament, by faith which grants you grace. So they was going to get this promised land. God said, I got to give you some rules and regulations, because if I don't, I can't hold you accountable. You see, the law was meant to govern their earthly lives. And the law was only, God said, I'm going to put this here so you could define sin and to point to the coming Messiah. That was the reason for the law, y'all. The law couldn't save anybody. God never intended to be able to save anybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, y'all. But God put it in place, and he told them the law, he'll accept them following the law and you know, allow them to, you know, be with them. But it couldn't save them. And even though there was laws, and it wound up to be 613 when it was all said and done. Watch this, y'all. Follow me. The people wasn't following the law, because if you didn't follow the law, you had to make a sacrifice. And each law that you did was identified with a certain sacrifice. If you might have committed adultery, you might have need to bring five bulls. I'm being hypothetical now. And you would have to bring it on the Day of Atonement to the priest, so the priest could sacrifice it. And an aroma would reach God's nostrils, and God would say, I'm giving you a pass. That's what the law could do. But it was so grueling. Keep that in mind. Keep that point right there. You see, neither did the law change the provision of the Abraham covenant. So I'm letting you know, even though the law came after Abraham covenant, all of the blessings bestowed on Abraham is still bestowed on you. The covenant of law didn't erase it. Keep that in mind. It was God's only conditional covenant with Israel. And their blessing and success depend on their obedience to the law. In the same Exodus 19. Follow the plan of God. He gave Abraham the promise. So he had to execute the promise he gave to Abraham, because if he said it, he had to do it. Or he would do it. I ain't going to say what he had, because God do what he wants. But if God says something, he does it. So now he's fixing to give them the promised land, and he know they going over there with no rules and regulations. He said, now I'm going to do the fifth dispensation of time, which is the law. But it did not take long for the law to be broken. The dispensation involved temple worship directed by the priest. That's what I told you about the bulls and the goats and sacrificing whenever they mess up with the law. This further direction spoken through God's mouthpiece. The prophets, he brought the prophets, he had the judges. Come on, y'all. He had the holy men of God. He was giving them some help because the Holy Ghost wasn't here living inside of them, right? They had priests and had prophets. They had judges. God was doing his part. And even when they messed up, he said, okay, bring the sacrifice. And I'm going to give you a pass. That's like in a Catholic church. You go to the priest in the confession box and you say you're sinning. He tell you how many Hail Marys to do. And that can't save. That couldn't save the Catholics either. And maybe they thought it forgave their sins, but it didn't. And in the Old Testament, doing the sacrifice did not forgive their sins either. But you see, eventually due to the people's disobedience of the covenant, the 12 tribes of Israel, God gave them the land. They lost the land. They became slaves in Egypt. They became slaves in Rome. They became slaves under the Assyrians. Come on, y'all. So I'm telling you what mankind has did, but I'm showing you what God had did. That's why I say we live in a dispensation of time where we could say no excuses. You're not going to tell God he didn't do enough for us to live a righteous life. Because the scriptures say God has provided everything we need to live a righteous life. Now, that's the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. Our lesson tonight, I'm going to spend a little more time in the sixth. But I had to get some scriptures so we could back it up. So the printed text was Ephesians, the second chapter. And the scripture reads as this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loves us, even when we were dead in our sins. Come on, y'all. Have quickened. And any time in the Bible you see the word quicken, that means made alive, to revive us. Even when we was in our sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And the sixth verse says, and has raised us up together and made us set in heavenly places with Christ. That's our promise, y'all. So when I look at this to let you know about the dispensation and that we in a dispensation of grace, I went and I got a scripture from Galatians, the fourth chapter, verses 4-6. Now watch this, y'all. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that was under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. God said, when the time got right, he said, let me fix this. Because you see, this dispensation of the law is not going to work and never intended to work. He said, so I got another dispensation. But look what the scripture said. But when the fullness of time had come, when God's timing was ready to act, but he always had it in mind for us. He's always working it out together for our good. Number six said, and because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And now we're going to talk about the sixth dispensation. The sixth dispensation is the one in which we are now living. It is the dispensation of grace. That's why we say we live under grace. We're no longer under the law. But I also want you to know that it is called the church age. Some people might ask you, what age are we living in? We are living in the church age, or the dispensation of grace age. Grace age or church age, it's the same thing. I want to let you know that this new covenant in Christ's love, this is the new covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with the children of Israel. And a new covenant is going to be with the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you when it started. It started with the coming of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And it won't end till the church is raptured. 1 Thessalonians 4. The church age began after Jesus died, resurrected, and ascended and went back to heaven. They was in Pentecost. The Holy Ghost was let go. The people received the gift of the Holy Ghost. All of these people that was in Jerusalem at that time went back to their different places where they lived. Some of them lived in Galatia. Some was living in Philippi, which is the Philippians. Some lived in Thessalonica, which is the Thessalonians. When these people got this newness, they went home and started churches. So when you see the book of the Bible, that's different churches that was established after the day of Pentecost. And God established the church. That's why it's called the church age. And it's going to last until Jesus comes back with the rapture. You see, this dispensation is worldwide, and it includes both Jews and Gentiles. Now, let's see what God's responsibility of command for us to do. See, each dispensation, he asks man to do something or to not to do something. But in this dispensation, our responsibility during this dispensation of grace is to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John 3:18. And y'all know everybody don't believe in Jesus. So all mankind has never done what God asked us to do. And some of us who do it, we do part of it when we feel like and part of it when we don't. Sometimes we only do what's convenient for us because we think our time belongs to us, and many times God is asking you to do something, you tell him you don't have enough time. You see, in this dispensation, the Holy Spirit dwells in the believers as the comforter. God said, I'm going to give you something else to work with you. You see, this dispensation has lasted almost 2,000 years. Remember, this is the year 2020. Christ came on the earth. When Christ came, it would seem like one, but the Bible don't say it starts with one. It was a little bit off as far as the date and time. So since Jesus' time on earth, it's been 2,000 years. Well, better than 2,000 years. Remember that. So that's why they always talk about it's been 2,000 years since Jesus. And no one knows when it will end, because the Bible tells us that no man knows the time when Jesus coming back. Jesus' disciples asked him, he said, look, y'all, I can't even tell you. I don't even know. Nobody but the Father knows. So we know when it started. We don't know when it's going to end. We do not know when it will end. But we do know it has started. And we do know it will end with the rapture, whatever God's timing decide for the rapture to be. And then I have another verse, verse 7, 8, and 9. For in the age to come, he might show the excellence, the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. Look what they say, in the ages to come, what God going to do? He going to show us exceedingly riches and kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. 8, for by grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. See, when people want to nail you to the cross by what you should have, could have, and didn't do, not of works. So this tells us, first of all, you can't do enough work to be saved. You can't be good enough to be saved. It's a gift from God. But if you could appreciate what God has done for you by allowing his son to die and suffer for you, you might want to do what he asks us to do. So you're not working to be saved, but because you are saved, you should want to work. They say, not of works, lest any man boast. You see, the concept of grace is found in the Bible. And the word really have many, it's multifaceted. But it can be summed up in a definition, undeserved favor. Grace, undeserved favor. Grace, undeserved favor. Grace, undeserved favor. It is a gift from God. The Bible says that we are saved by grace. The grace of God is expressed by God's forgiveness of our sins, and his blessing to us includes peace and fulfillment in this life. And watch this, the life to come, which is salvation. It is made possible by Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension. After Jesus resurrected, he stayed on earth 40 days, and then he went to be with the Father at the right hand, and he's still working in our behalf because he's interceding the Father for us. You see, the grace of God has appeared, and it offers salvation to all people. Titus 2:11. God knew that man could never be good enough or do enough to save himself. Now, during the age of grace in the church age, we are no longer under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:15. The law has been fulfilled with the coming of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. God don't stop one dispensation till he have another one in place. Hallelujah. You can trust God. God's grace in Jesus is plain for all of us to see. All that is required for salvation, you guys, is to trust in Jesus Christ. You can find it in Acts 16:31. And don't trust yourself. You good enough. I'm better than they do. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. But that means you're still doing something else. God never designed. God knew we couldn't be perfect. Because let me tell you like this. If one person could be perfect, just one in the whole world, Old Testament and New, if one person could have became perfect to everything that God has asked, then God would have left a dispensation where everybody had to be perfect. Because if one man could do it, then another one could as well. So if God thought that even one person could be perfect, he wouldn't have had to let his son die on the cross. There would be no need for Jesus because we would be earning our own salvation by what we do. But God knew we couldn't, so he sent his son in the fifth dispensation, the sixth dispensation of grace. And all that he has done, see, all that is required for salvation is to trust in Jesus Christ, and all that he has done, not our works. And I'm going to leave you with this. He has done all that is necessary for salvation. Believe it. You got to believe in him. You got to believe it to achieve salvation. And you can't just believe any kind of way. You got to believe with your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul. Because you see, you can't fake it, believing. Because God can see your heart. And I'm not going to leave you hanging. There's a seventh dispensation. And I'm not going to talk too much about that one, and you can research it. But the seventh dispensation is called the millennial kingdom of Christ. Y'all may have heard, you know, the word millennium mean 1,000. And this is the time when Jesus is going to rule on earth. And he's gonna rule. And he's going to lock Satan up for 1,000 years as Jesus himself will rule. And it's going to be peace. You see, this kingdom will fulfill the prophecy to the Jewish nation. God promised people. God told him when he made that covenant with Abraham that your people is going to rule with Christ. So God is fulfilling that with this 1,000-year millennium reign, filling that promise he made to the Jewish nation. He told them that Christ was going to reign and be their king. If God said it, it's going to come to pass. And you see, during this 1,000-year period, Satan will be bound. And this period ends with the final judgment, Revelation 20. The old world is destroyed by fire, and a new heaven and a new earth is going to appear. And all those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life is going to rule with Jesus. It's going to be with Jesus. Our time on here on earth is God is getting us ready to learn how to live in the kingdom that he has prepared for us. Because they tell you that's a place for prepared people. So everything you do on earth, everything God asks you to do and you understand it and follow it. Come on, y'all. They say there are going to be some people in the millennium that didn't get the word of God in his fullness, but they did accept him. And they were saved. And God is going to use some people to bring them up to snuff. Hallelujah. So that lets me know positively that there's going to be work for us to do. And whatever job God gave you is going to be determined by what he's seen you did here on earth. That's our lesson for tonight. Each millennium could have a whole day of study, but I wanted to give you all those tidbits because you see, sometimes, you know, we can't give it all, but I pray that each and every one of you heard enough to want to go and research for yourself. Or either call me and ask questions, but you may want to take it further than where you're at right now. That's our lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, concerns, you can press your one button at this time and I'll open your mic. I mean, nobody have a question or anything. Caller, your number is 20888. Your mic is open.
Elaine, I wanted to say thank you for the teaching, that I enjoyed the lesson.
Thank you so much, Tamika. Thank you, darling.
You're welcome.
Be blessed. Any other questions or comments? Caller, your number is 33805. Your mic is open.
Beautiful lesson. I've read those scriptures several times, and I'm thankful and grateful for you to open them up and let me see them in a different way. You did wonderful.
Praise God. That's what Bible study is for. Thank you, my sister. Maybe we could talk, and you could give me your point of view and mine. See, that's what we got to do when we get the word. We don't supposed to just hear it and then go cut the TV on, look at the news, and not even remember what we just heard. Because the Bible teaches us that the Satan is going to come and snatch up what you get if you don't protect it, if you don't do anything with it.
Amen.
And sometimes in a fellowship one with another, you and I could have us some time when we could find time and, you know, just run it. And you know. Get all kinds of perspectives, and we could go even higher in the things of God together, because God never designed the way any of us. I am too. God never designed the way we should do anything alone. That's just not the way he designed it. When Adam was by himself, he made him a woman.
Yes, he did.
And then he told him to replenish the earth. It is never God's intention that man does anything alone. Thank you, my sister.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Caller, your number is 615-19. Your mic is open.
Hello. Hey, Sister Diane. Brother Bernard, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, my baby.
Yeah, good, good. As you were talking, I was thinking about when they talk about faith and works and, you know, I think all the stuff that God said that's going to happen. And we say that it was going to happen through Jesus Christ. So I think one have to keep in mind that these things are done already and that they're available for the taking.
Of course.
I think that, you know, when, you know, it's because Jesus then came, because in Jeremiah 31, they talk about a new covenant. And so the new
right.
covenant is, and the new covenant was ushered in by Jesus, and the new covenant is God in you. So
that's
it's
right.
just a lot of, yes, some things that we have to learn about who we are, then that's how we identify ourselves with who we are in God, and we identify our purpose in God. So good lesson. Last, I'm going to say this. When you talk about grace and stuff like that, now, grace is supposed to be a sacred place. When you get grace, then you're supposed to be sealed. If you're sealed, you're sanctified. If you're sanctified, you're holy. In John 17:17, Jesus tells God, he said, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I'm asking you to take the world out of them. Sanctify them with thy word, for thy word is true. So when, like you said about the faith and works, now, Paul wants you to know that your works is not what's the reward. It's the grace of God. But then the brother of Jesus says, James, now you show me your faith. I'm going to show you my works, because faith without works is dead. If you really have faith, then you're going to do the holy work of the Most High Creator. God bless and thank you for allowing me to comment.
Thank you, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, your number is 612-14. Your mic is open. I'm sorry, 621.
Hello, everybody. Minister Diane, I just wanted to say that was an awesome lesson. You brought out a lot of points that is just something that a person really, really would have to do extensive study in order to really get a full understanding if they don't know in regards to the dispensation that you mentioned. I learned tonight that there are 7 dispensations through you, and I'll say through the Holy Ghost that is within you, and it's going to cause me to get into that extensive study to learn about all 7 dispensations of time. I was under the
right.
understanding that there were 2 dispensations, which was the Old Testament and the New Testament. But like I said, tonight I'm learning that there are 7. And I just want to say thank you for being obedient and teaching this word, because so many of us, you know, think we know, and guess what? We don't know. And I'm one that did not know that there were 7 dispensations.
But I got to tell you this, sis, some people say it's 2 and some say it's 3. But if you follow and you study in the most theologians and the commentaries, you know, most of them end up with 7. So if you say 2, mm-hmm. you're not off. You didn't make it up.
Mm-hmm.
But this breakdown of the 7 seemed logical.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we got government came in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, They usually say, they say two because of grace and the law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when God created the garden, it was a dispensation of innocence. There was no
mm-hmm.
evil.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And then after he put them out, he gave them a conscience. That was another period. That's when he had to destroy the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Because him doing with, you know, so that's the seven that I follow, but plenty places you'll see two. So I don't want you to think you was off for anything. And hopefully,
mm-hmm.
you know, you study these and you know, have a different, you know, perspective with it.
Right, right. Well, it was truly a blessing, and I thank you for the lesson tonight.
I thank you, my sister, for the comment.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Amen, my sister. And you be blessed.
Thank you. Likewise.
Any more comments or concerns? Well, if not, I think I pressed all of the buttons. Well, that's our class for tonight. And I'm going to do a benediction so we can leave, so we'll be able to leave. But I want to just tell you, and it is my prayer that God be with us until we meet again. And may the grace of God and his sweet community rest, rule, and abide in all of us. If it's God's will, we'll be back next Wednesday, same time. Lord, I just want to thank you for allowing us to come together. I thank you, Holy Ghost, for showing up and showing off. I thank you for using me, your vessel, to speak to your people. I thank you that the word that was given will not return void, that you would illuminate it and revelate it, because I realized that I only gave out information, and it's by the Holy Spirit where revelation and illumination happen. God, we thank you for this time we had with the seven dispensations of time, and it's my desire that you perk the hearts of the people where they may want to go a little bit further. God, give me the strength and ability, if anyone wants some time with it, that you'll arrange my time where we could do what you want us to do. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor and I give you glory. Lord, please let your people realize how great grace is. And let them know, dear God, that your grace is sufficient no matter what the question, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances, no matter the health, no matter the wealth. Your grace is sufficient because you allowed your son to die for us, to grant us grace. And you think that God would allow that to happen and then grace was short. Believe me, God, touch the hearts of your people and let them know how sufficient your grace is. Not just for some things, but for all things. Amen. And thank God. God be with you till we meet again. Good night, everybody. God loves you, and so do I.